This is Willie Terry, your Roman labor correspondent from WOOC, the Hustle Mohawk Magazine Network, and I'm here today in Albany at the Arbor Hill Public Library, where they're having a forum on the state of the community, a panel discussion, and they're talking about the problems and inequality that are plaguing the communities. This is the second forum. And they will have a third forum on March the 2nd. In today's forum, the speakers are Laura Manning, Derek Johnson, Minister X, and Jerome Sugg Brown. And the moderator is Eva Bass. State of the community.
All right, y'all, I don't do this podium thing. I'm going to sit down. We're going to have a conversation, right? So thank you, Brother Anthony, for inviting me. Thank you, all the panelists, for coming here and dropping knowledge. Y'all are all super dope. We know this system is racist. We know it's based on white supremacy. We know it needs to be dismantled.
That's right.
We know that. But as we work towards dismantling it, as they quit, I'm the assistant director at the Center for Law and Justice, but my passion really is organizing. I think too often our community is looking for somebody to lead us, you know, like a Brother X and stand up, lead us out of this. No, you have power, you can lead yourself. Prime example, they wanted to close Arbor Hill School. I didn't go look for people. I started knocking on doors. I knocked on every door in Capitol Woods, every door in Adiabro, every door in Skyline. And I gave my folks a slight political education and let them know this was happening. I think it comes back to this. Poverty is traumatic. And sometimes it's all people in our community can do just to get through the day. You know, the 1996 criminal justice reform coupled with the welfare reform, that wasn't accidental. And I do want to point out, I think because of a lack of knowledge, yes, we know social services, housing, all that was meant to literally destroy the black family.
Yes.
It used to be like that. However, dad can live in housing now. And I think our people don't know that. Yeah, you have to report dad's income, and a lot of our folks don't want to because you won't pay rent on that, but dad can live there. You have to know where your power is. So for example, all I get, our people are reentry people, people who did time incarcerated are coming home, or people who are about to be incarcerated. I get calls every day about the public defender system. My public defender sucks, my public defender sucks. Guess what? When there was legislation to strengthen our public defender system, I couldn't get one person from Albany to make a call. It passed our legislature. Governor Cuomo vetoed it. It said the state would have to pay for public defenders. Right now, it's the counties. That's why you get your $50,000 lastness class attorney representing 100 of y'all. You get no investigators. You get no DNA analysis. You get none of that. So when this was out here, and this affects us, and this affects our mass incarceration, A, how do we get the info to the people? Because you can't always just blame them for not showing up to the community. Meetings. It's not that. If we're organizing and we're trying to do something, we need to come to them. You're that mother who's working three jobs as a CNA trying to take care of her two kids because her baby daddy in prison, and she can't collect her food stamps unless she is working three jobs to pay her rent. How do we get her at the table? Because we have to come to them. We can't keep putting the blame on our community. Yes, there's personal responsibility, but I'll say it over and over again today. Poverty is traumatic. And when it's all you can do to get up and feed your kids today, that's where the collective comes in. We have to help pull them up. We have to bring them into these spaces. How do we change that? How do we make them feel like it's worth their time? Derek's idea about going back to block captains and having street meetings. That's how you get to the people. Not here and saying, come to us when they don't have transportation. They don't have $1.50 for the bus each way. You know, that's real when you're struggling. The struggle is real. So I love that idea of going back to the blocks, but we also have to go back with knowledge, not just, as you were saying, complaints.
Yeah.
We got to go back with actionable items. This is a problem. This is how we deal with it. Bet you they not closing Arbor Hill. Those police are emboldened. You just watch them whooping ass down on Grand Street all across the news. They are emboldened. They've always been rough on our young men. but they are newfound emboldened. I got a call right after Elazar got shot in his back at work, because these are the calls I get. Man just happened bystander, walking past, saw a cop beating the shit out of some young black boy. The black boy screaming help, screaming Black Lives Matter. You know what the cop told him as he kicked him in his ribs? Black lives don't matter here in Albany. Why would they think they do? We let that shit ride. We watched them shoot a black boy in the back, run away. We let it ride. A little rally, there was 20 people. We let that ride. They shouldn't have been able to get in or out of 165 Henry Johnson Boulevard until somebody was held accountable. That didn't happen. But why? Because like he said, because we didn't personally know him. Because he wasn't, you know, one of the families from Albany. That's not somebody's cousin, sister, brother here. That's our community member. That's our son. That's somebody's sister, brother, and cousin. Albany started lead, law enforcement assistant diversion. Do you guys, they're diverting people because now it's white people going to jail for opioids. So now they don't want white people going to jail or overdosing, although black men are still overdosing on cocaine at similar rates. We're not talking about that though. The face of this drug crisis is no longer a drug war because it's white. Is now a crisis is the white boy, and it's not. Black people are dying too. They're dying from the K2. The crazy thing about the K2 is they wouldn't even be smoking it if marijuana wasn't made illegal. They're trying to avoid detection, but they're dying and they aren't the face. So now we have this diversion program. The data is public. Have you guys seen it? They're diverting white people every day. Yeah. They are not diverting black people. The numbers are embarrassing, and somebody needs to be held accountable. You're getting funding, federal, state, city funding to run a program that's only diverting white people in a city that's mostly black. Why are we not holding them accountable? So I just want to say it's like really easy to blame individuals, to say, hey, sister, stop, you know, buying your kids Jordans, although they should. But it's like we have to blame us collectively. Who is going to that sister to uplift her? What can I do for you tonight, sis? Can I take out your trash? Can I shovel in front of your house so you can get out to your third job later on tonight? What can I do? Can I walk your son to school? He's getting bullied. He's getting jumped. His dad's in jail. We're not doing none of that because like it's her fault and she shouldn't be on food stamps and he shouldn't be, you know, going to jail. And we all know these systems are set up to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
Just need, but if you're really organizing, your job is not to lead these folks. Your job is to build them into leaders.
Amen.
Teach them how to lead.
Amen.
You know, because when sis can lead her family and brother can lead his family, then collectively when we need an urgent action, you got a community full of leaders. Everybody's gonna know how to pull it together and like came together and said, yeah, you owe us. You owe us. Until I die, this government, it owes me and it owes people who look like me, and I want mine. Yeah. Not my crumb. I want my space to kick in through the door. I don't want to assimilate, you know. I truly believe integration killed the black economy.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't want to live near white people, although a lot of times y'all nosy and judgmental. But it means I don't need to integrate into your business. I don't want to assimilate
with you.
But I do want to exist in my space and be respected for being in my space. And you understand that this is my space and there is space for me in a country that people who look like me and my ancestors built. That's it.
I'm going to bring our next speaker up that can elaborate, I'm sure, on a lot of things, and that is Councilman Derrick Johnson.
First of all, I want to say thank you to Brother Anthony for bringing us together.
Yes.
It's very important to hear from the people that are putting in the work. A lot of times the people that put in the work sometimes are the last people that they reach out and talk to. What's on my mind, what I think? I think like this, right? We need to start small groups, small street meetings. All right? You know, let's get in contact with our streets so we can know who's living on our street. We can know who's registered, who's not registered. Who voted the last time, who didn't vote the last time. Because that's the advantage that we have. Once you start from street to street, you know, we should go back to the thing of having block captains. If we start off small, small meetings can lead to larger meetings. And, you know, the focus, like, we have races coming up. We have school board coming up. Like, we have to look at how the people that hold the power got in power. And one of the things that, in my research, they went through the school board first. And once they got the school board, then they went elsewhere. And I don't see anything wrong with us taking the same approach, because when we come together in smaller groups, it's easier for us to come together for that one big common denominator. Like, we have to establish an expectation. You know, we need an expectation from the city, how we want our kids to be treated. And we should have an expectation from the school district as well. So, you know, I just think that it's important that you are aware of what's going on in your community, the changes when you get things sent to you from your school district. You need to participate in it. If you can't be there, figure out another member of the family. Like, you know, once again, when you have block captains, they're captains for a reason, because they have time, they have energy, they have the heart that they're willing to sacrifice for the team, and sometimes they can represent you. Like in the old days, man, we worked together, you know, so that, you know, if somebody was weak over here, you know, people came over there and helped that person, and, you know, the next thing you know, everybody was straight. So, you know, I stole something many years ago from FUBU. They said, for us, by us. And you hear me say BUFU with the downtown and uptown. I said, because, you know, around here, if we're going to wait for people to do something for us, as you can see, they're going to keep us waiting. So I always say, by us, for us. You know, if we start doing what we need to do, it makes it harder for them to do anything to us. So, you know, once again, it's a blessing, you know, and thank you to everybody that came out here. And, you know, I'm hoping that the words inspire you so that, you know, tomorrow is better, because we have some young boys and girls coming here. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, Councilman Derrick Johnson.